Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
More than 2,000 people are dead, scores injured, and dozens of buildings destroyed after an enormous earthquake rocked Syria and Turkey. The international effort to assist those in need.
Plus, a brief court appearance this morning for two men charged with murdering another man after a fight. What's next in the case?
Also, a dire situation unfolding in Ohio where a train derailment is putting lives and livelihoods in jeopardy. The search for the cause. More than 2,300 people are dead after a powerful 7.8 magnitude earthquake and an aftershock that followed rocked Turkey and Syria today. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. NBC's Keir Simmons reports Turkey has declared a state of emergency and the U.S. is offering assistance.
Whole buildings collapsing from the earthquake's power. Unable to stand against this quake, almost 8 on the Richter scale. The morning light revealing devastation and wreckage. A toddler in Syria, bloody but conscious, pulled from the rubble. And other survivors taken from collapsed buildings, lucky to be alive. Three huge tremors snapping streetlights and sending car alarms wailing. The moments recorded on security camera footage. This is one of the region's worst quakes in decades, striking while people slept just after 4 a.m. The quake hitting a huge area of southern Turkey and northern Syria, an area already war-torn with hundreds of refugees. The tremors felt as far as Beirut, Jerusalem, and Gaza. In northern Syria, they are searching for survivors in opposition-held territory. Hospitals there already overwhelmed with the injured.
We need help. We need the international community to do something to help us, to support us.
Turkey's President Erdogan said rescue workers will be joined by troops to search for survivors, but they have a vast area to cover. Those searching, calling for silence as they try and listen for trapped survivors. This rescuer asking someone trapped, "What color are you wearing? Are you wearing pink?" A frantic rush to find those caught in the rubble. The White House offering to provide any and all assistance to Turkey, although the statement left out any reference to the U.S. working directly with Syria.
And that was Keir Simmons reporting. The Czech Republic is deploying search and rescue teams to Turkey as well. And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, France also sending 139 workers to Turkey. Spain says they will send 85. Multiple countries realize this is an all-hands-on-deck effort. They are helping out. Leaders from Australia, India, Pakistan, and Ukraine also says they will be offering support and assistance any way they can. I want to show you a live picture here. This is in Turkey. This is a rescue mission happening right now. This is live. The Netherlands also say they will be sending search and rescue to Turkey as well. Again, 2,300 dead so far, 8,500 injured. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, they're predicting the death toll could climb as high as 10,000.
New at noon, the bond hearing for two men charged with second-degree murder of a 19-year-old man has been continued now until Friday. This comes after a special prosecutor was appointed to the case late Friday night. WRL's Monica Casey was in court this morning. And Monica, what is the family of that man who was killed saying?
Well, Hamilton Woods' family says they want transparency and accountability for this murder. An attorney representing the family says he requested that special prosecutor. Gavin Lloyd Miller and Dylan Thomas Piper have been charged with second-degree murder in this case. That attorney for the Woods family believes not everyone who should be charged in this murder has been arrested yet.
But what we do know is that three individuals showed up to where Hamilton Woods was with his lady friend and her mom. We're told that they were wearing ski masks. They came with a loaded weapon. And while they were there, they shot and killed 19-year-old Hamilton.
The attorney is now asking for the North Carolina FBI to take the lead on this investigation rather than the Franklin County Sheriff's Office. The family is concerned about a social media post showing those two suspects, another man and another woman, along with a message about being part of the Franklin County KKK. That's another reason that the attorney representing the family has requested a special prosecutor and the FBI get involved in this case now. The bond hearing was continued until Friday. The family and a large group of supporters of them say that they will be here. Jeff?
Monica Casey live in Franklin County for us this noon. Monica, thank you.
We're learning more about a deadly shooting at a motel in Rocky Mount. The WREL Breaking News Tracker drove to the Executive Inn on North Wesleyan Boulevard as police blocked off the parking lot and searched a room. Someone shot a 20-year-old man and a 58-year-old man. The 20-year-old died, and the older man was taken to the hospital. Police have not yet released their names. Investigators in Fayetteville are trying to determine what led to a shooting at a bar. It happened on Jumpers on South Riley Road overnight. Police tell us a man was shot in the chest. We're working to learn his name. He was taken to the hospital with serious injuries. A potentially dangerous situation developing in a small community in eastern Ohio, not far from Pittsburgh, after a train derailment. Parts of the train were carrying hazardous materials and could explode. Officials say the blast could hurl harmful fumes and deadly shrapnel as far as a mile away. Authorities have ordered people in a 1 mile radius of the wreckage to leave the area.
We're at the point where we need you to leave. There could be possible charges if you choose to stay.
Federal investigators are on the scene trying to determine what caused the train to derail.
The winter triple threat of flu, COVID-19, and RSV is easing in the U.S. Most states are now reporting low or minimal levels of respiratory activity. Emergency room visits for these viruses are a third of what they were a month ago. Flu hospitalizations are nearly as low as they've been since October, and hospitalizations for COVID-19 have been trending downward for the past few weeks. Starting this fall, Pfizer and Moderna will begin selling the COVID shots directly to healthcare providers at a higher price. That's because the U.S. government will stop buying the shots for the public. Americans who have health insurance will still get their COVID shots free of charge, but those with no health insurance may have to pay the full price of the shots once the federal stockpile runs out. No date has been set for the transition. Okay, check up stocks this noon right now as the trading week has begun here on a Monday, and the Dow Jones down already. It is down 93 points this noon.
Students are back in class today following a series of threats that forced lockdowns at six schools in Wake County last week. Laura Levine joins us from one of those schools, Zebulon Middle, with how leaders are addressing safety.
And as students are back in class today, right now we are seeing more security here at Zebulon Middle School. We are seeing the Wake County Sheriff's Office back on campus today. And it was just Friday when we were here standing outside the school with dozens of parents who were concerned and frustrated. They say the threats made toward local schools have simply gotten out of hand, and school leaders agree as they now attempt to find solutions to put an end to this trend. On Friday, these six schools in Wake County were the target of multiple threats. Two experienced a code red lockdown, and it prompted early dismissal. Investigators are now looking into the source of the threats, and the question is, who's making them and why? The board chair and superintendent for the school system say they are looking at ways to work with law enforcement agencies to create better safety measures and working with state lawmakers to see how to strengthen laws that address perpetrators.
We have got to get to a point where people are held accountable for their actions, and even young folks need to understand how serious this kind of thing is.
The Wake County Sheriff's Office is also encouraging parents to make sure that they monitor their students' social media activity. The Wake County Board of Education is holding a meeting tomorrow where they plan to discuss more about safety and security on school campuses. Laura Levine, WREL News, Zebulon.
This year's North Carolina Chinese Lantern Festival was a huge success, generating more than $7 million in economic impact for Wake County. That's up more than $2 million from the previous year. The festival set a new attendance record in 2022. More than 216,000 people visited Cocoa Booth Amphitheater in Cary in the 7 weeks the festival ran. Over that time, visitors from 50 states and six countries flocked to see the lanterns. The festival will return with all new lanterns in November.
Tonight's Powerball jackpot is expected to be the fifth largest ever. Since no one matched all six numbers drawn Saturday night, tonight's big prize now tops $747 million. You can watch the drawing on WRL at 11 p.m. November 19th was the last time a ticket matched all the numbers. And the all-time record jackpot was $2.4 billion. That was 2 weeks before that. The winning ticket was sold in California, and the winner has yet to come forward, but the person has 1 year to do so. Next at noon, a historic night for hip-hop at the Grammys and the all-time record Beyoncé set.
Also ahead of the State of the Union tomorrow night, the preparations around the Capitol building and topics we're likely to hear from the president.
Plus, from the gridiron to a hockey rink, the first step to transform Carter-Finley Stadium into the greatest show on ice. Elizabeth.
And the weather's feeling exactly the opposite, but it is breezy. Take a look at Wilson. Right now, the whirly gigs are spinning fairly slowly, but just a few minutes ago, they were really going to town. I'll show you the wind gusts for the rest of the afternoon coming up.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
The music industry handed out honors on its biggest night Sunday.
The Grammy Awards did spread the wealth a bit, but also saw history made. Mark Barger highlights some of the night's winners.
Harry Styles!
A super fan from Canada announced Grammy's top prize Sunday night, Harry's House, winning Album of the Year for the British singer.
There is no such thing as best in music. This is really, really kind. I'm so, so grateful.
The show closing honor, one of three for Styles, including the night's first. But in between,
we are witnessing history tonight.
It was a coronation for the Queen. Beyoncé became the Grammy's most decorated artist ever with 32, after Renaissance took Best Dance Electronic Music Album.
Thank you so much. I'm trying not to be too emotional. And I'm trying to just receive this night.
Beyoncé won three other Grammys before she even arrived at the show. Traffic delays meant host Trevor Noah presented a belated trophy for Best R&B Song.
I was shocked to find out that traffic could stop you. I thought you traveled through space and time.
A stunned Lizzo celebrated her Record of the Year win for About Damn Time, and she still took a moment to salute the Grammy legend.
You clearly are the artists of our lives. I love you.
Lizzo and Beyoncé both came up short, though, for Song of the Year.
Just like that.
A clearly shocked Bonnie Raitt also beat out the likes of Styles, Adele, and Taylor Swift for the award.
I'm so surprised. I don't know what to say.
Unholy.
Also overwhelmed was Kim Petras. Together with Sam Smith, they won Best Pop Duo or Group Performance for Unholy.
Sam graciously wanted me to accept this award because I'm the first transgender woman to win this award.
A milestone adding to a historic night.
Thank you so much to the Grammys.
Mark Barker, NBC News.
Among the night's other winners were jazz singer Samara Joy as Best New Artist. Adele won Best Pop Solo Performance for her song Easy on Me. Kendrick Lamar earned Best Rap Album. And Willie Nelson took home a Grammy for Best Country Album. Actress Viola Davis achieved EGOT status with a Grammy win for her audiobook narration of her memoir, Finding Me. EGOT stands for Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony over a career, and only 18 people are in that club. Davis is the fourth black person to win all four major entertainment awards. She joins Whoopi Goldberg, John Legend, and Jennifer Hudson.
There were a lot of big winners at last night's Grammy Awards, including fans of old school hip hop. Yeah, this was the highlight for a lot of folks. The show featured a three-part performance celebrating 50 years of hip-hop. It just blew fans away. More than 20 performers out there part of it. Grandmaster Flash, Method Man, Busta Rhymes, all the way up through Lil Wayne. Now, some fans at home said seeing so many icons out there on stage together just brought them to tears. That's good stuff. LL Cool J in the mix, too. The city of Raleigh, meantime, has partnered with local hip-hop legends and pioneers to discuss the evolution of hip-hop in Raleigh and across our state. You can be part of the history. Raleigh plans to celebrate this anniversary by collecting photos of hip-hop moments from people across our state. Then those pictures will be on display at a hip-hop sneaker ball in August. Send your pictures to the curator at City of Raleigh Museum. And be on the lookout for a special report from WREL on the 50th anniversary of hip-hop. DJ Jazzy Jeff was there. I mean, there's so many old school.
It was like
hip-hop.
A trip down memory lane, right? Yeah, and I feel like if you heard that and enjoyed that and everything, maybe you're of a certain age. You know, does that make people look old?
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
It was good fun.
Vintage.
Either way, I was happy I recognized a lot of them.
Same here.
It was with Gardner and the WRL Severe Weather Center. We've been waiting for the sunshine. It's beautiful out there right now.
It is beautiful. Here's a look at Zebulon. And this is a look at the, of course, the town hall here, the historic town hall. Take a look at the flags right here. The flags are moving around. And we have gusty winds right now because occasionally you'll see that they don't look like they're moving very fast. And then all of a sudden you can really tell the wind has picked up. So we're looking at some gusts up to 25, 30 miles per hour this afternoon. Temperatures are warming up nicely. It's 59 right now. We're going to climb up into the low 60s this afternoon with lots of sunshine for the rest of the day today. And then we will rinse and repeat for tomorrow and Wednesday before we actually start to see more rain in our forecast at some point on Thursday into Friday. We'll talk more about that coming up in just a little while. So our winds right now are steady at about 10 to 15, and that's going to be the blue box on the left. That's where our steady winds are. But our wind gusts are in the white box on the right, and we're gusting to almost 20 in Raleigh, 24 in Rocky Mount and in Roxborough, and 26 down in Fayetteville. So we're gusting, you know, up to 25 right now. There could be some gusts later in the afternoon on up to around 30 miles per hour. So it's a blustery afternoon. Our current temperature is 60 in Fayetteville, 58 in Goldsboro, 59 South Hill, 58 degrees in Southern Pines. And we take a look at our temperatures this afternoon. We're going to add just a few more degrees to that, 64 in Fayetteville, 60 in Rocky Mount, and 59 in Roxborough. So feeling very pleasant. And we'll continue to see our temperatures climbing. Our color contours, of course, show us where temperatures are above normal in the yellows and oranges and below normal in blue. And all those below normal temperatures stay well to our west, at least for the next several days. And watch how the red colors get darker and darker as we get toward the end of the week. So we're really going to see our temperatures climbing. Our normal high is 54, looking at 62 Monday and Tuesday, 69 on Wednesday, and 72 on Thursday. And that 72 on Thursday is close to a record. The previous record for Thursday, 74 in 1994 in Raleigh and 75 in Fayetteville. We're looking at 73 as the potential high. And we may adjust that a little bit, but no matter what, it looks like we'll be fairly close to records for Thursday. There will be a break. We're going to see a front coming through on Friday, and that's going to drop our temperatures a little bit for the weekend, closer to normal, back into the 50s for highs and 30s for lows. But as we get into next week, the climate data is showing a good chance of above normal temperatures for Valentine's Day week. So that does include our viewing area. We'll see how it goes. Definitely going to see some of the warmer temperatures as we get into Thursday and Friday. Friday in particular looks like it'll be fairly wet with some scattered storms. So coming up in just a little while, we're going to go through that hour by hour and talk about how much that could linger into Saturday. You notice those temperatures, again, highs in the 50s and overnight lows back down near freezing.
Elizabeth, thanks. The community is stepping up to help a family after a teenager was critically injured when their home caught fire. Tonight at 5:30, we'll show you how neighbors are rallying around them and how you can help.
Long waits, closed stores, late buses. We're feeling the worker shortage every single day.
It's like a kind of a head scratch for most small business owners.
Coming up, Five on Your Side looks at the factors contributing to this worker shortage.
And win free food for a year from Cracker Barrel. It sounds like a good deal, right? Well, you're not just committing to the menu. We'll have details after the break.
Plus, change is coming to the State Department, not in leadership. Some say this change could help employees become more productive.
Happening now in the WREL Live Center, three people were hurt after a house explosion in Minnesota. I want to show you this video here. This shows the home where the explosion went off. Emergency crews are still on that scene right now. Rescuers had to pull three victims from that structure. All were transported to a hospital, one by helicopter. Police are describing the scene as active. This is an active investigation right now.
Michelle, thanks. A new number one at the box office, and discount stores are seeing more grocery shoppers. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
With food prices high, more people are shopping for groceries at discount dollar stores. The share of total grocery spending at the chains has been rising, according to a report from CoreSite Research. And the big chains like Dollar General and Dollar Tree are remodeling and adding more refrigeration units. CoreSite says the chains are also expanding their grocery offerings to include fresh produce to pull in more shoppers from supermarkets. Already more than one of every five consumers buys groceries at dollar stores. Cracker Barrel is offering free food for a year in a Valentine's Day promotion. To be eligible to win, a couple will need to propose at any Cracker Barrel between February 10th and 16th called I Said Yes at Cracker Barrel. The promotion calls for a couple to post a video of the proposal to Instagram. They'll also need to explain why they chose to propose at the restaurant chain. Five couples will then be selected to win free Cracker Barrel for a year. All right, after 7 weeks atop the box office, Avatar: The Way of the Water has been knocked out of that number one spot. Horror film Knock at the Cabin grabbed the top spot over the weekend as it took in $14.2 million in ticket sales. And second place went to 80 for Brady, which scored $12.5 million in box office receipts. Avatar slipped to third place with $10.2 million in ticket sales. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
The demand for food to go has some restaurants making changes. Restaurants without dining areas have become more popular since the pandemic. Some restaurants are shifting their focus to drive-through and online ordering. Demand for takeout has stayed strong throughout the pandemic and afterwards. Data from one marketing research firm shows 85% of fast food orders in 2022 were taken to go. A new brand of bottled water might be the cleanest you've ever tasted. The Texas-based company Richards Rainwater became the first in the U.S. to receive licensing to bottle and distribute rainwater. The company's CEO says they use a zero-waste and chlorine-free system with water that never touches the ground. The bottles of regular and sparkling water have already been distributed to Whole Foods stores nationwide and will soon be in Sprouts stores across the U.S.
The U.S. State Department is making it easier for employees to read its communications. The agency is now using the Calibri font. Now, the State Department had been using Times New Roman since 2004, but the agency is switching because Calibri is simpler and easier to read, especially for those with dyslexia or aging eyes. Calibri also offers a wider range of characters, so it works well in other languages.
It's a sans serif font, so it just looks sleek and more modern. Preparations are underway in the nation's capital for President Biden's State of the Union address. We'll have a preview of the key topics of tomorrow's speech.
Plus, Canes fans are ready for a winter treat. We'll take you to Carter Finley Stadium, where the transformation is underway for outdoor hockey. And here are your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
President Biden will deliver the State of the Union tomorrow night in Washington, D.C. He does it as the nation and the Congress is divided on what the priorities should be for the next 2 years. Lauren Blanchard has a look ahead at what we could hear.
Fencing is going up around the Capitol, where President Biden will deliver his second State of the Union speech Tuesday night.
It gives his allies an agenda list going forward, how to defend what their policies are.
For the issues at home, President Biden will likely touch on concerns over gun control and crime rates, but also police reform after the horrific death of Tyree Nichols in Memphis. Then on the economy, there's the looming debt ceiling showdown. Plus, government spending and inflation are impacting Americans' wallets. According to an ABC News Washington Post poll, 4 in 10 Americans say they are worse off financially since the start of the Biden administration.
Average American family is paying $9,100 more just to survive than they did under the Trump administration. That's a fact.
For issues overseas, we're nearing the one-year mark of the war in Ukraine. The president expected to ask lawmakers to continue to support the nation against Russia. And after the Chinese spy balloon spectacle in the skies this weekend, President Biden will likely speak about the worsening relations between the two countries.
I want to hear some strong words from President Biden at his State of the Union address explaining what he did and pushing back against China.
Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders will deliver the Republican response. You can watch the president's State of the Union address tomorrow night at 9 here on WRAL.
Israeli police have released body cam footage of a raid on a refugee camp in the West Bank. The raid was meant to capture suspects who reportedly attempted a shooting at a restaurant in a Jewish settlement on the West Bank. A gunfight erupted during the operation, leaving a trail of debris and blood. Hamas confirms that all 5 people killed were armed members of the group. The Palestinian president's office is calling the raid a crime and urges the U.S. to push Israel to curb its attacks. The U.S. Navy and Coast Guard are searching the waters off the coast of South Carolina for the wreckage of that Chinese spy balloon shot down by the military. Ships are canvassing a 10-mile debris field in shallow waters with the FBI on hand to start analyzing the wreckage. China says it was a weather balloon that drifted off course. The U.S. says it was a spy balloon with China managing its direction. Although the balloon flew over Montana, which has 150 missile sites, U.S. officials say they diminished its surveillance capabilities.
A firefighter and 4 others are injured after a fire in North Raleigh. The fire ripped through an apartment complex on Prince George Lane yesterday morning. The firefighter was hurt when part of a ceiling fell. None of the injuries was serious. At least 20 people are out of a home. People who lived in that complex shared with WRAL the moment firefighters arrived and urged them to get out.
We heard some sirens and some other people yelling outside. And then they banged on our door. You saw a bunch of flames coming out of the roof over here. Then it skirted the attic.
It's not known what started the fire. The Red Cross is helping the people who were forced out of their homes. The Red Cross is also helping several people after a fire at an apartment complex on Walden Pond Drive in Raleigh. That fire broke out early yesterday morning. It appears to have started inside the building before spreading to the outside. No reports of anyone hurt.
We're less than 2 weeks away from a big showdown on ice, and this won't take place inside PNC Arena. Carolina Hurricanes will take on the Washington Capitals outdoors across the parking lot, Carter-Finley Stadium. That's where we find WRAL's Brett Neese now as they brought in that big truck with those machines to make the ice. Brett?
Yeah, Jeff, we're getting a first look at that. 55,000 screaming fans going to fill up Carter-Finley Stadium. But I want to show you all the equipment that has been trucked in. They have trailers. And then back behind this section of the stadium, they've tucked in a trailer that is the mobile ice unit, the refrigeration unit that is going to be able to put over 5,000 gallons of water on Carter-Finley Stadium. We have some video to show you what the work looks like right now inside the stadium on the football field. They're laying those white boards down across all the entire field, and then they're going to start putting water out on the field or on top of those and freezing it. It's an extensive process. It's a very intricate process, but one thing they won't have to worry about is the weather.
We'll watch the weather. You know, we've had rain in other climates. We've kind of got accustomed to adapt with what we see. So if we do get any rain, we'll freeze what we can with the truck, and if we can't freeze it, we'll just squeegee it off. So we just have to adapt to what we're going to see.
So rather than worrying about it, they're just going to adapt to it, just like Derek King said. He's with the NHL and this entire crew. I mean, there's hundreds of workers out here that are going to make this happen. Puck drops February 18th at 8 o'clock. And the night before, they're going to have a fan fest downtown. Jeff, WRAL, we're going to be at both of those.
Well, I look forward to it. I'm glad it's not this week because we're going to reach almost 70 degrees. That's not good for the ice. So a week from Saturday. All right, Brett Neese, live at Carter-Finley Stadium. Thanks.
Black Business Week is now underway in Durham. The Greater Durham Black Chamber of Commerce is organizing the event. Each day, there will be opportunities to help promote Black-owned businesses. There will also be chances for business owners to learn more about resources available to them. According to Discover Durham, there are more than 130 Black-owned businesses in the Bull City.
Millions of children in this country are growing up obese. What doctors say needs to be done to fight this epidemic?
And winter has a way of erasing any motivation to exercise. This week will likely be an exception for us, but how you can stay active outdoors even when the temperatures drop again. Our team is working to bring you exclusive stories. For coverage you'll find only on WREL, visit WREL.com and search only.
It's a live look right now. Beautiful puffy clouds out there. Blue skies, Lake Gaston. As you watch WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Sleep medication may increase the chances of dementia for some people. Researchers from the University of California studied elderly people averaging 74 years of age. They did this study for 9 years. The volunteers in the study didn't have dementia, but took sleeping pills. Researchers found 20% of participants developed dementia, with a higher number among white people. White volunteers had a 79% higher risk of developing disease compared to the volunteers of color who rarely or never consumed sleeping pills. Constant aerobic exercise reduces risks for two types of diabetes, or I should say type 2 diabetes. At-risk participants were asked to undergo a coached and supervised exercise program for a year. And participants were at risk levels with excess fat in the abdominal area and non-alcoholic fatty liver diseases. Researchers saw a 49% reduction in the risk for diabetes in those who took part in rigorous group exercise compared to those who didn't.
For the first time in 15 years, the American Academy of Pediatrics is updating guidelines on evaluating and treating childhood obesity. The new recommendations remind doctors how important early action is when it comes to combating the crisis impacting millions of kids. Ten Lidner takes a look at the new protocols.
Early intervention could be key to combating childhood obesity. The American Academy of Pediatrics is urging doctors to follow its new obesity guidelines, which call for earlier use of behavioral therapy, surgery, and medication, depending on the child's needs.
This promotes an approach that considers the child's health status, the family system, the community context, and the resources for treatment.
Nearly 15 million children and teens in the U.S. are considered obese, meaning their body mass index is at or above the 95th percentile for kids of the same age and gender.
Obesity has been considered a personal choice and a shameful choice. And we know that it's not. It's that it's has to do with genetics and it has to do with lifestyle and has to do with socioeconomic status.
Failure to treat obesity in kids could cause them to develop other serious health problems.
Comorbid illnesses like high blood pressure, kidney disease, liver disease.
The guidelines list intensive health behavior and lifestyle treatment as one of the most effective behavioral strategies to treat childhood obesity. But this can be hard to accomplish because it involves 26 hours or more of face-to-face counseling to address things like nutrition, physical activity, and more.
Be a role model for the kinds of life skills that you want your child to have, whether that be daily physical activity or eating vegetables every day.
That was Ted Lindner reporting. Besides implementing healthier lifestyle choices, the guidelines advise doctors to offer weight loss medications for kids 12 years and older. Doctors are also being asked to evaluate people 13 years and up who suffer severe obesity for weight loss surgery.
All right, this isn't a snake on a plane, but it is still banned. Where customs agents found this unusual skull in a suitcase.
And it can be hard to be active when it's cold outside. After the break, some suggestions to help you get your exercise and why working out in the cold can have an added benefit. Welcome back. It's 1244 as we look live at downtown Raleigh. So nice to see sun shining, it's not foggy, it's not too cloudy, and it's actually going to be warm today, considering up close to 60 degrees. Well, if you're still thinking about getting away to a tropical destination for spring break, it will cost you. A trip to some of the popular spring break destinations include Jamaica and Cancun could cost between $1,500 and $2,000. One travel strategist offers some advice to get your bang for your buck. First, try taking your flight back home in the middle of the week. This could help you save money and steer clear of crowds. You can also take advantage of the amenities from your hotel, like free breakfast and spa vouchers. Southwest Airlines is reportedly reducing the minimum requirements it set for hiring pilots. The Wall Street Journal reports Southwest had required people applying to be pilots to have logged at least 1,000 hours flying jets and other turbine-powered planes. Now, the newspaper says Southwest will consider pilots with fewer hours. The change reportedly takes effect tomorrow.
It can be hard to find the motivation to go to the gym when it's cold outside. So a doctor is sharing plenty of other ways to stay active this winter. It may not seem ideal, but running, walking, hiking outdoors offer a lot of great health benefits. For example, cold weather can help you burn more calories. The body is working to stay warm. It can also feel invigorating to get some fresh air and sunshine. Another option is to take advantage of winter sports like skiing, snowboarding, ice skating, hockey. If you're planning to exercise outdoors, be sure to dress appropriately and keep an eye out for slick spots on the ground.
In the colder weather months, I think staying active can be as simple as in the warmer months, but you sometimes need to do a little more preparation for it.
And the doctor there says if exercising outdoors doesn't sound very appealing, you could also work out indoors at home instead. There are all kinds of programs available online, oftentimes for free.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of property was stolen from outside of the NFL experience in downtown Phoenix. Police say that the theft was several items of production property, and authorities note that safety is a top priority. They're doing what they can to help make sure people are able to enjoy this week's festivities leading up to the Super Bowl safely. So the Super Bowl is this Sunday, and the teams are now in the host city. Both the Kansas City Chiefs and Philadelphia Eagles arrived in Arizona yesterday. The teams have a week of preparation and media events lined up ahead of the big game in Glendale, which is a suburb of Phoenix. You can watch Super Bowl 57 on Fox 50 on Sunday night. Looks sunny and warm there in Phoenix.
Right, isn't it? And the game will be indoors, so, you know, the temperature will be just fine there. But tonight's media day. It's a media day where they all get together, so it's the one time it's, you know, without COVID there, it'll be fun to get all the players in the same place.
I was thinking about that story about not being motivated to go work out. Well, today, great day to go out and work out, right? Elizabeth Gardner says, take advantage of our warming trend.
Yeah, I love that story where, you know, just get outside and do it, do something in the snow. And it's like, you know, well, we haven't had any of that this year, really. I mean, minus a flurry or two, nor have we really had a lot of cold weather. I mean, January was the third warmest on record. We've got more 70s in the forecast this week. So see, no excuses, even if you're not a skier or snowboarder. These beautiful sunny days are going to be perfect for getting outside, nice and mild for the next several days, near record warmth on Thursday. But our next system will arrive late on Thursday, so the timing of that we'll be watching closely. It may be that, especially later in the day, it's going to be a little too wet to get outside. Tracking that front right now, we'll go through what we're expecting. Well, first of all, take a look at our beautiful blue skies, absolutely gorgeous. Goldsboro, Durham, Apex, Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. The camera there in Goldsboro is shaking just a little bit. It's pretty sensitive to that. We're seeing some gusts up to 20, 25 miles per hour right now, may gust up to 30 a little later on. Other than that, it's nice and mild out there. 62 this afternoon, 62 tomorrow afternoon, 69 Wednesday, 72 on Thursday. But again, Thursday might get a little bit tricky in terms of rain moving in. Right now, this high pressure system is in control of our weather. High pressure systems have sinking air. It dries the atmosphere, not conducive to showers or thunderstorms. So I'm loving that high with us for a few days. But then we'll start to watch this next system back to the west. It will start to develop, start to draw in some moisture from the Gulf of Mexico, and it will have some thunderstorms likely associated with it. This is Wednesday at 6 a.m. It's still well to our west at that point, and really all day Wednesday. Tuesday, we stay nice and dry. The high pressure system stays in control of our weather. That high rotating clockwise will help to push even more warmth in for Wednesday and Thursday. But then we're watching the rain as it starts to move in. There's 5 o'clock and we're seeing showers. So definitely some showers, at least this model run during the evening commute, and likely some rain on Friday morning as well. And then it really intensifies. You can see the heavier rain around 5 p.m. on Friday, and that's when we could have some thunderstorms through the area. And then it may linger into early Saturday morning. This is 9 a.m., and you can see some rain from Raleigh eastward and possibly some lingering heavier rain back to the east. And then that may change over to some snow back into the mountains. Right now, this is a look at our percentages, looking at 30% Thursday. Again, have that chance of some late day showers, and then at least an 80% chance on Friday, and we could see a 30% chance again on Saturday morning. But of course, today is Monday, and all of this is at the end of the week. So keep checking back if you have plans to be outside late Thursday, Friday, or even Saturday morning, and we'll keep checking in on the timeline for you. Definitely looks like it'll be cooler behind Friday's front, with highs in the 50s and overnight lows back to near freezing. But indications are we could warm up again next week.
Thanks, Elizabeth. No pet dander here, but all the love. Why some senior communities are turning to robot pets for their residents.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. The bond hearing for two young men charged with second-degree murder of a 19-year-old has been continued to Friday. Gavin Lloyd Miller and Dylan Piper have been charged with second-degree murder in this case. The family of Hamilton Woods says they want transparency and accountability for his murder.
Students are back in class today following a series of threats that forced lockdowns at six schools in Wake County. Investigators are now looking into the source of those threats. Wake County's board leaders are working with state lawmakers to see how to strengthen laws that address perpetrators. Parents have also been asked to secure their firearms and talk with their students.
The ice-making machines have arrived at Carter-Finley Stadium to begin the process of turning the football field into an outdoor ice hockey rink. The Carolina Hurricanes will face the Washington Capitals on the ice outdoors February 18th at 8 p.m. The equipment will be used to monitor the ice, ensuring that it is at least 2 inches thick and 22 degrees at all times.
We often share strange discoveries at our nation's airports, but Customs and Border Protection agents in Detroit made a very unusual find in an unclaimed suitcase. Agents found the skull of a young dolphin. They noticed this skull-shaped object while doing an X-ray scan of the luggage and turned it over to investigators with the Fish and Wildlife Service. Agents say possession of wildlife items, especially those of protected animals, is prohibited. No word on the owner.
Companies are turning to technology to help older adults who feel lonely. Small businesses are creating virtual spaces for seniors in assisted living facilities to spend time with family and friends. The app is free, but requires a MetaQuest headset to use it. Other companies have looked toward physical options, such as Jenny, who's a robotic pup.
Our pet of the day is a real one, comes to us from Purr Partners, and this is Prairie Rose. 5 years old, domestic short hair female, has been patiently waiting for her forever home. She's a quiet, sweet tabby beauty with startling aqua green eyes. Look at them. She is a loyal, gentle companion cat who enjoys lots of attention, or just Prairie Rose would do best in a quiet home, preferably the only pet or with another gentle cat.